This episode is brought to you by USAA Auto Insurance. When it comes to auto insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. With USAA, you get award-winning service that's easy and reliable with 24/7 online claims. For our military community, it's the service that goes above and beyond at a great value. Get a quote at usaa.com/auto. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas. This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When it comes to insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. That's because bundling auto with property insurance saves you money. And USAA is your go-to for great rates and insurance options. Visit usaa.com/bundle to see what you can save. Bundle savings are off total premium, not available in all states or in all situations. To qualify, auto policy must be active prior to property policy issue. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, February 18th, Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway. It's the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Happy to be with you. All of you listening, all of you watching the show over on YouTube.com/The Fantasy Footballers.
Jay with a yoo-hoo wave over there.
Welcome to YouTube.
A little bit frightening.
Yoo-hoo!
We got a great show for you today. We're going to do some rookie review, and I'll be curious, gentlemen, which rookies you think will be elite sophomore options for fantasy football players. So we'll walk through the positions. We'll keep it brief, but I do want to know if you fell in love with one or two of these players in each position that, whether they performed in their rookie season or not, you think, you know, brighter days are ahead.
Yeah. Joe Milton III.
They did talk about him getting traded.
Dude, he was awesome for one part of one game.
Week 18?
Yeah.
Yeah. A reminder, the Ultimate Draft Kit available now, the pre-order that is, ultimatedraftkit.com, where you can get instant access to the Dynasty Pass, and you can learn all about the UDK and the Dynasty Pass at ultimatedraftkit.com. We have a special giveaway, a chance to win a Listener League spot. Come and play with us in 2025. It's also the lowest possible price you can get. So if you're going to get it eventually, get it now.
Yeah, if you're listening to the show, you're probably playing fantasy football this year, which means you're going to want the Ultimate Draft Kit. Cheapest price, get in our Listener League, have a chance at it. And all the Dynasty stuff, you know, we're talking rookies today. The incoming rookies are outlined there, team opportunities. A bunch of stuff is already up and available, even though the main thing launches on June 1st.
And the community, you can always find it at jointhefoot.com. We'd love to have you hop in there, become a part of the Foot Clan. We have a quick question of the day. It's an Instagram question written in by SDP Dub. Don't know what that means. What is the most important thing when it comes to starting a dynasty league? So it is dynasty season. We have a dynasty podcast. Let's talk about dynasty leagues.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you're going to start a new dynasty league, the most important thing is the league mates, the members of the league. This is something that you hope is around for, you know, at least a decade. You know, you're going to go through cycles and have rivalries, and you need active managers. When you have, it's not like a redraft league. A redraft league, you got your buddy Bill, who really doesn't give two farts and whatever. Next year, he's like, yeah, I don't want to do it.
Poor Bill.
Well, I mean, Bill needs to stop farting around.
All exactly. The Bills out there.
So I would just say have a group of people who are dedicated and love fantasy football. That's just going to make your league better. If you're a member of Join the Foot, you can go to footclanleagues.com, find someone to fill in. And I would just say to that point, like, you know, all of the leagues we're in, they're 12-man leagues. Every league that I play in is a 12, at least. Our listener league is even larger. But I would be happier to play in an 8-team dynasty league with committed, like, a core group of 8 that I know is going to be around for a long time. And just make the rosters larger, you know, go
it's
triple flex.
It's easier to fix that.
Yeah, and then if you want to add, you know, 2 more managers and turn it into a 10-team down the road, you can do fun expansion drafts. There's ways to get around that as opposed to just filling it, being like, I've got to have 12 guys in this league or 12 people. So, you know, it just doesn't – it's not going to be as fun.
Mike, do you have a –
I mean, that
dynasty tip. I mean, that's a good one.
That is the most important thing. But if you're talking specifically about your startup draft, it's
screw them RBs. that's
yeah,
Mike's,
I mean,
usual.
Yeah, that really is, especially old running backs. But it's, don't overvalue youth in your dynasty draft. Like, don't reach for guys who they shouldn't be going in the second or third round. You're like, well, they're so young, so I'm going to have them on my team forever. Yeah, no, you need to balance that. You do need to balance with some old guys, but generally speaking, like in the first round, early on, I'm not drafting really any running backs, but like if you're going to get one, it has to be Bijan, Gibbs, guys who are just young. I'm like, Saquon Barkley, Barkley's going to finish as a top 5, top 3 running back next year, assuming he plays all the games. But for how long?
I've got a more nuanced tip for dynasty leagues in terms of making them more entertaining and fun. If you can get the history documented for the league in whatever way possible, that's more fun as a dynasty league carries on. I think those stats are great, you know, whatever it is, the most points scored in a season, the best record of all time. Obviously, you're going to know your champions, but there's a lot of different metrics, head-to-head matchups, rivalries. Mm-hmm. There are websites that will provide that for you. There's a lot of them out there. I think League Legacy is one of them, but there's several other ones. Those are best to get connected early when you start the league, as opposed to trying to go back and figure out all of that information. So if you enjoy that kind of that side of it, to me, Dynasty is all about the longevity and the franchise history and building something special, and so opportunities to break records, to know records are coming up. I mean, that stuff's fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you're on a platform or in an environment where communication is simple and easy, so you can be talking all year round, wherever that is, a Slack channel, maybe it's on Sleeper, whatever the case may be.
Talk that trash.
I'm not going to hit the drop, but I do have one piece of news. We're pre-recording this show. We're at FSGA in Las Vegas, the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association Conference. So we're recording the show a little bit early, so there may be other big news that has broken, and we'll get to that on future episodes. The only thing that we haven't talked about on the show that did come out was a tandem bit of news about James Cook. One, first, it came out, he's looking to receive $15 million a year on the next contract.
That's the small news.
And then the next day, went on Instagram Live, pinned his own comment about $15 million a year, and then he removed the team from his profile.
Oh, we got him.
Scrub-a-dub-dub that profile.
We got him. The Bills know that James Cook is not messing around.
He means business. He got rid of, I mean, it worked for Kyler, right? This is stupid. It's so stupid. It's
have we been checking Al Borland's profile to see if he's still listed as producer?
Because
I don't know if that's the negotiation tactic that, you know.
I feel like if someone did that here, we'd just let him go. Right? Like, I'm looking for a new contract. I'm going to take all, you know, mentions of the fantasy footballers. Right.
If that's what you're saying.
No.
Speed-wise.
So for some context, obviously, contracts, they go up. But so Christian McCaffrey right now, he's an average of, 19 mil a year. And then the second highest average is Jonathan Taylor at 14.
Is James Cook worth $15 million a year, even with the inflationary context?
It's really difficult because the question of like, could James Cook be worth that? I think so, but the way that the Buffalo Bills use their running backs, especially now when they're like, no, we use three guys. We use Ty Johnson. We use Ray Davis. And so to have that amount of money into a position that things fall apart pretty fast.
It's so
well, they can justify it because they could say, well, we just pay an average of $6 million per each running back. $15 million goes to Cook and then, you know, $1 million to each of the other guys.
It's a weird offseason because you just saw the influence of a dynamic running back being added to an offense and the value of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs and doing
Saquon's average salary is $12.5 million. So I think 15 seems like a stretch. Looks like Derrick Henry's at $8 million.
Well, you don't start low.
Josh Jacobs is at $12 million.
You don't start low when you start pulling it off of the IG. Maybe he did send them a note and said, I want 15 and didn't get a reply. And
maybe
now
they got a reply and it said, go ahead and remove Bills from your profile. Maybe this is not James Cook at all. He's like, I want $15 million. He's like, dude, just go ahead and scrub it.
I mean, it's crazy because we just talked about James Cook again on the last episode. And, you know, the 16 touchdowns. Like, if there was ever a time to negotiate your contract.
Oh, yeah.
After you scored two touchdowns, then you went to 16.
I mean, he's going into year four, right?
He probably started asking for $1 million a touchdown.
I mean, on the back of this offseason where the big signings at running back made giant impacts for the rosters, took teams deep into the playoffs, won a Super Bowl, yeah, you start to say, look, running backs matter again. And, you know, I'm the second best player on the Bills. You got to pay me accordingly. I don't mind him doing that. If you're a running back, try to get your money. You're not worth you're – the running back market should not be giving $15 million to someone per year that's not a top three back in the league. And he's not a top three back.
He is currently the number 48 on the average salary
on the pay,
by running back. So this is I'd like to be paid appropriately. And I do believe a little bit in the rewarding the season when you play it like, you know, Brock Purdy, right? A bunch of years at no money. James Cook is going to be an unrestricted free agent in 2026, so this will be the final year of his deal. His base salary this year will be 5.1 in the final year of his deal.
I believe his brother threatened a holdout about the same timeline and then gave in and played on the contract, if memory serves.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with James Cook. Apparently, that'll be a storyline we get to enjoy all offseason long. Mm-hmm. Let's talk some rookies.
Rookie review.
All right, we'll take a quick walk down memory lane, see what we got out of the rookies this year, position by position, and who we think can take a step forward in 2025. We'll begin with a player I know. I feel like Jason is very confident in the future capabilities of Caleb Williams.
Is it confidence, or you're just hopeful because of Ben?
Johnson. So I think it is more hope than confidence, but it's not. It's optimistic hope.
Okay.
In the sense that, like, there are times where you just didn't see enough from a player to believe. You know, rookie year, Bryce Young, it was very difficult to see the path for him. You know, he just didn't have any success. He didn't show the flashes. Now, he's gotten it together. I think now there's optimism in Carolina that Bryce Young's a thing. But last year with Caleb Williams, while he had some just abysmal games, his inability to, you know, get rid of the ball and stop taking sacks, but those are rookie mistakes. He also had really great moments, flashes of brilliance, showed kind of the special features he has, his arm strength and talent. And so you combine that with Ben Johnson coming in, and so I am optimistic that it's going to work out.
Finished as the quarterback 14, was drafted in the 9th round in fantasy leagues, and you know, not what we hoped for or expected. You know, you said flashes of brilliance. There were plays, there were moments, stuff that other quarterbacks that we've looked at in the rookie seasons never gave us. That is for sure. I don't know if I saw the complete game. Like, I would have loved to have seen one complete game where I felt like he was in control from the beginning of the first quarter through the fourth quarter. They won the game, and I said, hey, that's just something you need to, you know, start to repeat.
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, he had a couple games. So he had, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, he had five top six fantasy finishes on the week. But even in some of those great games, the first half is like he had 33 yards. And then, you know, they were getting blown out. And he came back and had a great comeback and showed those. I agree with you. There was no consistency, and I don't think I saw a complete game, just front to back, open to close.
Yeah, I'm going to trust in Ben Johnson with you, Jason, of, like, I want good coaches and good offenses to put my players in a on the path to success. But, man, Caleb looked brutal to me of just frantic, not seeing things. Like, it looked like he could be easily confused. He has great arm talent, but I'm concerned.
The second rookie quarterback off the board in the 10th round who finished as the quarterback 4 on the year, Jaden Daniels, we have been...
I'm less concerned.
Yeah, I mean, this was awesome. I mean, it's the 7th most rushing attempts of all time as a rookie. Had an incredible season. Certainly seems like Washington is in safe hands for the near term at a minimum. You know, you never know what injury or something like that could derail a career, but you couldn't ask for a better situation top to bottom than what Washington is in right now.
Mm-hmm.
New ownership, a coach that had success. You know, you outperformed your expectations. Your rookie was more mature beyond his years, and you have a foundation to build upon. When you talk about fantasy football, I think it's not a debate that Jaden Daniels is five rungs ahead of every other rookie from this past year. The question is just, is he a perennial top five guy to you?
Yeah,
here on out?
He is. There, his nature of just being so unflappable, he doesn't rattle. When things go bad, he just gets up and he's got the same calm, cool demeanor that you see from successful NFL quarterbacks. Just didn't seem to tilt, and he usually has an answer. The fact that he has the superpower trump card with his legs, and that he's willing to scramble, and he's not afraid to use it. You know, it's like Kyler has that,
yeah.
But Kyler's terrified to use it. He doesn't, you know, it's like that's a break glass in case of emergency, whereas with Jaden Daniels, that's a, if you guys don't guard me right, I'm gone. And so for fantasy purposes, there's no fear. You could argue he should be the number one quarterback drafted next year with, you know, an older Josh Allen and him coming into year two. But he'll be in that top. He'll probably be the third quarterback drafted, definitely be in the top five.
Washington has the third most cap available to them, because it's like, I mean, he did that with, like, Terry McLaurin. Like, Terry McLaurin's a great player. But Terry McLaurin's a little bit older, and, like, if you can get...
You want to talk older, Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I mean, like, the pieces on this team, imagining that this team being really aggressive and going out and getting a...
T. Higgins.
If Higgins gets to market, but, or just, I'm saying something, a first-round wide receiver, a splash in free agency, they can make something happen here, and... A wild thing of Jaden Daniels of, like, his stock went up in a game that he did not play. Like, watching the Super Bowl and how Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs struggled against the Philadelphia Eagles, comparing that to the game that just happened where Jaden Daniels was just fine. You're like, that is really, really, really impressive season and very optimistic for the future.
Third overall pick, Drake May. 8th overall pick, Michael Penix Jr. 10th overall pick, J.J. McCarthy, who looks like will transition right into being the starter. I have my doubts that Sam Darnold is coming back. I mean, what would you handicap it at right now in Minnesota? I have it at about 10%.
Man.
I've got it more like 66-33. I think they're going
to
give him
to return?
No, 66% that it's J.J. McCarthy. But I think there's a good chance they're going to let Sam Darnold test the open market. If there's a team out there, like, let's say the Rams end up trading Stafford to the Jets. Like, you know, you've seen some rumors out there, and then they want to go after a Darnold, and they'll probably pay more than Minnesota is willing to pay. But if Darnold doesn't find a good market, which he might not, a lot of these teams who need quarterbacks are going to be highly up in the draft. They're going to be drafting one.
Well, let's do the experiment. I think it'd be fun. AFC East, the only team that actually could use him, will never bring him in because he used to play for them.
Yeah.
The Jets, right? Because Drake May is secure.
They might be interested. I don't know if Darnold's interested.
They can't be interested.
They couldn't. I mean, could you imagine if the New York Jets signed him and he comes back and he sucks?
Yeah, that you just can't do it.
I mean, it would just be
you
like,
can't bring a circus in, man.
You've got now the NFL has to regulate. You know,
so great.
Soccer does and have the teams go down.
Oh, relegate him?
Yeah.
The Raiders are the only team in the AFC West. They're definitely a contender for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Especially with Pete Carroll there. No time to waste. The AFC North.
Gotta get
to bed. AFC North, you'd have the Steelers or the Browns. Those would be two teams that could use a quarterback. And then for the South, you know, you're really looking at the Titans. Probably nobody else.
The Titans have such a high pick. I think if they're going after a quarterback, they should do it in the draft.
NFC-wise, you'd be talking about the Giants.
Yep.
Otherwise, no other team in the East. NFC West, probably it would be the Rams trading Stafford. That'd be it. NFC North, nobody. They're all set.
Right.
And then NFC South, Saints seem committed to Derek Carr. Panthers, no. They've already done the Darnold experiment as well. And the Falcons and Buccaneers have it figured out. So, yeah, I mean, let him test the waters, see if the Raiders write him a big check, and maybe he's got a chance to come back. But of those guys, May, Penix, McCarthy, and I'll throw Bo Nix in now, pick 12, amazing rookie season. If you were kind of putting those guys in order from a dynasty perspective, just based on what you saw as a rookie, you know, limited work for Penix, May, nothing from McCarthy.
I mean, I've got Bo Nix ahead of Caleb Williams in Dynasty Startup ranks. I would much rather have him. I'm sure of the system that's in place, and it just feels safe and secure with Sean Payton and what we saw from rookie year Bo Nix with, again, not a ton of weapons. I do think that Marvin Mims, hopefully Troy Franklin, like they've got some good developmental prospects, but this wasn't, you know, some elite core of wide receivers that he was inheriting. He got more out of Cortland Sutton than we've seen in years. The fact that he uses his legs, runs the system well. Bo Nix to me is obviously very safe. And from fantasy, you know, for fantasy football, very safe because he runs. These other guys, Penix and Drake May.
Well, Drake May actually had, what, 10 fewer rushing yards than Bo Nix?
Yeah, he ran well, but he didn't throw well. But he didn't have anybody to throw to.
The Patriots is a full rebuild, so it would be just a, do you feel like you saw enough composure and enough traits from Drake May that the future could look bright? Because I liked
what I saw from Drake May.
They're slotted for, like a lot of mock drafts have T-Mac going there as the number one wide receiver off the board. So it's like factoring that in. The Patriots are going to do something. They're not just going to stand pat with the wide receivers that they have right now.
Yeah, I think Drake May might be the most slept on of this group in terms of, you know, at least with McCarthy, you know, you can paint the picture. You know, Addison and Jefferson, Kevin O'Connell.
I'm bullish on McCarthy.
I mean, McCarthy should be able to, like, you can see the easy case for him coming in and being successful.
Yeah.
Michael Penix, we got to see enough of him. He's got weapons around him, great running game. You can see him being successful. Bo Nix, we saw, have a good year. Drake May's sitting there in this, like, I don't want to be so afraid of the Patriots offense and system that we ignore what might be coming because of, like, what you said. The draft capital is going to be there. They made a move at head coach after 1 year. And I think Drake May, you know, he's a third pick in the draft.
Oh, and he definitely showed a lot of skill. Mike Vrabel, I believe, is a very good head coach, but I think he's a very good NFL head coach. He's not the type of head coach you're really, you know, jonesing for in fantasy football. He's going to come in and make sure the defense plays better. Not just be a high-flying offense, especially with the personnel they have. He's going to, you know, match how to win ball games with the personnel they have, and I don't know that they've got enough explosive power on offense. It was kind of like when Harbaugh went to the Chargers. We kind of – that took nothing away from Justin Herbert's talent, but you knew, like, it's, he's probably not going to do as much for fantasy. I feel that same way here, not to take anything away from Drake May, the player or the talent, but I think Vrabel coming in is not going to be great for fantasy.
The wild thing for Drake May, so his end of season stats, you know, just under 2,300 yards, 15 passing touchdowns. He appeared in 12 games. He pretty much played 10 full games. If you go look at the game log, of like, he didn't start at the beginning of the year, fills in a little bit at the end of week three, then doesn't start two more times, and then you had week eight, 30% of the snaps, gets knocked out, doesn't play the last game. So in essentially 10 full games, you know, he puts up those numbers of 2,315, and like Caleb Williams threw 20 touchdowns in an entire season. So it's like I think it would be foolish to overlook Drake May moving forward.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about the rookie running back performances.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. When draft time rolls around, you have to be strategic and you have to be quick to put together the best possible team. Like with football players, when you're drafting a quarterback, there are so many things that you need. You need an athletic guy. You need a guy who can process information. He's got a strong arm. Maybe he can run around a little bit. There's so many things, and finding the exact right one, very difficult. But if you're hiring, the best strategy is to use Indeed. Their sponsored jobs will help you stand out. It literally puts your job post at the top of the page so you can reach the people you want faster. And even better, you're only paying for results. There's no monthly subscriptions or long-term contracts. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/footballers. That's Indeed.com/footballers right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/footballers. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Let's talk flags for a moment. Not the kinds the refs pull on the field. I'm talking about something else. Green flags in relationships. Stuff you look for in a partner. You know, for me, you want to look for enjoying being around them. You want to look for shared common traits. It's different for everybody. Relationships take effort. And if you want to make things work, I'd suggest therapy. It's a great tool that can help you navigate all sorts of relationship problems. And therapy can help you tackle other problems too. I've had therapy for years, and you go through highs and you go through lows. Sometimes you're stressed. Sometimes things are going well. And it's really nice to be able to talk about both of those things to help empower you to be the best version of yourself. An excellent place to start when it comes to therapy is BetterHelp. It's convenient and affordable since everything is online, and you'll have access to thousands of therapists with a variety of specialties. And if your first one isn't a good fit, you can switch at any time at no extra cost. Discover your relationship green flags with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
All right, let's talk rookie review at the running back position. This was a down year for rookie running backs. Fewest total touches and yards from scrimmage for rookie running backs over the last decade. It also happened to line up with a year where the aforementioned Henry and Saquon and Jacobs had monster years for teams. Did not find value in the draft. I mean,
one of the things in fantasy football that has been so consistent. I mean, it's literally been 12 years in a row, longer than we've been doing this show, and we've done it a decade. There are always two rookie running backs or more, sometimes many more, but at least two rookie running backs who finish in the top 24. And so this was the first year that that said goodbye.
Yeah. 12-year run is
Bucky
over.
Almost did it.
But the top five running backs drafted, they couldn't get on the field. I mean, Jonathan Brooks, we know the story.
Sad story.
Do you see and we got a, not an unexpected, but just a, now it's, they're being talked about in media of, Jonathan Brooks is likely to miss most of, if not all, of 2025.
It better be all. Yeah,
you
don't
gotta,
bring him back at the end of a lost season to redo this.
When you re-tear your ACL, and it took so long to even get him on the field, so something was up with.
What do you do with him
ACL
in Dynasty?
Recovery.
Oh,
let's say you lost your rookie year, right? And let's just say he doesn't play a snap this year, so he's out.
Right.
He comes into his third year after missing his first two. Is he ever going to be handed the reins to be like, okay, you're the guy, you're our star running back?
If there's a way for you to box him up and put him in the attic for a couple of years for your fantasy team, I mean, you can't trade him for anything. So you're just, you're lost.
Yeah, it's wild.
You made the pick and you're stuck. I mean, but it wasn't only him. I mean, the first five picks drafted, Jonathan Brooks got the injury, Trey Benson.
James Conner was awesome. Got an extension. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Benson's a good player. And if Conner gets hurt, which he does sometimes, Trey Benson will be...
Trey Benson's a sensational backup, in my opinion. And look, when you're, when you're, I guess, just thinking of Dynasty, of the way that I look at it, is most... It's hard to have three good starting running backs in Dynasty. If you have two where you're like, every week, except for bye weeks, I know that these are my two starters, you're in an okay position. But then it's, you got to have just a stable of backups, because the NFL season is brutal and backups end up starting for you a lot. So this is not it's not the end of Trey Benson. He has value for fantasy.
I agree. I mean, I think
just not as a starter yet.
Connor, but to Jason Swyman, Connor is the leader. Connor got the contract. Trey Benson will be stuck in a role that no one likes for fantasy unless there's an injury. And then Blake Corum, same boat right now. Kyren's only 24 years old.
Kyren was awesome. If he gets an extension, goodbye.
The only thing that could disrupt something in Los Angeles would be, you know, Cooper Kupp's going out the door. Does Stafford leave? Does that mean that your head coach, does he want that next quarterback project like the Sam Darnold? Is that why they might want to make that move to reset the clock? They've got a young defense. Or, you know, and could that change the trajectory? I mean, I don't know. What's Kyren's contract situation?
He's going into year four, so he's eligible, and he's in the final year of his deal.
Does he still follow the team on Instagram?
I've seen some whispers of an extension coming for Kyren.
That would be so great for Dynasty.
We saw six carries from Marshawn Lloyd. We basically saw no Marshawn Lloyd all year.
And Josh Jacobs was awesome.
And Jalen Wright, who, you know, explosive, blew up the combine, made us kind of optimistic about his potential, definitely ran at times ahead of Raheem Mostert, who was banged up all year. You know, when you look at that group right there of those five names, you didn't see a ton of them on the field. And then the next man up in the fourth round was Bucky Irving. He was the star of the rookie class. 207 for 11, 22, and 8 as a rookie with 52 targets. 47 catches, a pretty stable offensive situation. I mean, he is the bell of the ball.
Yes. Oh, for sure. I mean, he's the only rookie that did finish inside the top 24 at the running back 15. The second half of the year, he was one of the best assets in fantasy football, and that was while Rashad White was playing. You know, Rashad White didn't miss any games. It just became Bucky's team, and Rashad White spells him a little bit more, and his – you know, his quick burst was really on display this year. Every time that he had a little opening, he'd be 5 yards down the field before anyone could catch him. And despite being a small back, broke tackles, it's great. Usually, I am pounding the table based on historical analysis that fourth round and later draft picks at running back, when they have a great rookie season, they get worse the next year. That is like 82% true. So this is not like a small data sample. This always happens. Bucky will be fine. Mm-hmm. Bucky passed all tests. The team is invested in him. I don't think this is going to be a Damian Pierce situation.
Well, and they don't need to do it. Like, Rashad White is still on the team for a year, and Rashad White has a role. Like, you don't need to replace that yet, where you don't have the concerns of them spending a pick on a running back who ends up being way better than maybe they drafted him to be. Kind of like, I mean, Bucky taking the job from Rashad White. I want to go back real quick to Jalen Wright, because it was overall, it was a really disappointing year for rookie running backs. Jalen Wright might be the most disappointing to me of the Miami Dolphins. They traded a 2025 third to move up to go get Jalen Wright. And he has the build, the speed, everything that the Miami Dolphins would want. He ends up with the fewest total yards from scrimmage of any rookie running back with 70 or more touches over the last decade.
It's not like he didn't have any touches. Right. 68 attempts on the ground.
And then add on top of that, look, yeah, Achan's the starter. Achan is not getting it done on the ground. Like they're and then the other guy is Raheem Mostert. How is Jalen Wright not pulling a Bucky Irving and moving up the depth chart? That one was
talent.
Yeah, sorry.
But you wouldn't say Achan's incapable either. I think
it's not that he's incapable, but he was really struggling on the ground, and the Miami Dolphins to me looked like, let's try something. Let's get a game of Jalen Wright. Let's see if we can get him going. But clearly the coaching staff saw him for it. Just they didn't think that he had the chance to do it.
I believe his higher carry games did coincide with the departure of a quarterback. So we know how dysfunctional they were without Tua. I'm just bringing it up It's like if Achan struggled too. Look, I think it's fair. You should have seen more explosive plays from him, even if he wasn't great on every touch.
And you had we had such a pump fake of week five. He's 13 for 86 on the ground, like incredibly efficient. That's 6.6 yards per carry. And then they go into the bye week, and it's like, the rookie running back got on the field, got opportunities. We're going into the bye week. Here we go. He's going to get a roll. And then nope.
Mostert's not getting any younger. So this team may need to pick another one up, which could be a problem. Impressive players beyond that, though. I mean, outside of Bucky, Tyrone Tracy,
yeah,
Ray Davis, undrafted for fantasy, fourth round pick for the Bills, and then Isaac Grindo had some opportunities this year. But those three names, in that low percentage category of being good, Tracy seems like he'll have an opportunity in the future as a fifth round pick.
He does. Tyrone Tracy is more the Damian Pierce to me, where it's like he looked very good. The team could say to themselves, hey, our running back, for this year is kind of solved. We're okay. And not worry about it. I think they will do that. But so did the Houston Texans did the same thing. They didn't go. They got Joe Mixon the year after. So, like, you had Damian Pierce's rookie season, and then there was a lot of excitement for Damian Pierce in his sophomore season. But when it didn't go right for Damian Pierce, the team is not invested. They're not committed. They're going to just keep trying to figure it out. And so they stopped using Damian Pierce. And then in the offseason, they're like, let's go get Joe Mixon. So this is one of those things where Tyrone Tracy, if weeks 1 through 4 of the 2025 season, he is, out there just making great plays, breaking tackles, looking awesome, great. He'll continue to get work. But as soon as it goes poorly for him, the team's just going to try to figure out something. And I think the whole franchise will look very different this offseason.
Yeah, they could use one of those ball throwers.
Mm-hmm.
The behind center.
I believe Aaron Rodgers is available.
Yeah, they could.
He's already in the area.
Yeah.
All right. Wide receivers. Do you guys want to move on and talk about a brief overview here? Marvin Harrison was the number one off the board in the NFL draft.
Had such a disappointing fantasy football season. Really did. Crushed it. It was a brutal. Yeah, I mean, this was a guy who was often drafted in the first round of, redraft leagues. And while he finished as the wide receiver 28 and had okay stats, 885 yards, 8 touchdowns, it wasn't a complete dud of a rookie wide receiver season, but based on expectations and fantasy football draft capital, an absolute disaster.
Lack of consistency was a killer for him. 7 games with a touchdown where he averaged 16.9 fantasy points per game in those. 10 games that he didn't score, 4.7 fantasy points per game.
Yeah, that ain't it.
And his, I mean, we watch the tape a lot, and it's always hard to really determine this.
Whose fault is it?
Yeah, I mean, is it the play calling? Because there were a lot of dumb routes where he'd run forever before Kyler ever had a chance to throw the ball. He's not even turning around. But there were also too many plays throughout the course of the season that I just saw a flat-out lack of effort. It just seemed like, come back to the ball a little harder. Like, it just seemed like he was
like the urgency was
playing at 80%.
This was one of those players where you felt like you saw not getting them involved early in the game coming back to haunt you. If you look at the numbers, 69% of his receptions came 10 plus yards down the field, where the players we saw have explosive rookie seasons, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., those were all 43-48%. You didn't get Harrison those easy catches to keep him involved in the game. Now, right. I'm not you can put the blame on him too. Obviously, you should be given effort on every play. But we know how wide receivers are. If you're not really a part of the game plan, if you seem like if every week the coach and the offensive coordinator in the press conference have to explain why you weren't involved again, there's a breakdown.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy you brought in to be your dominator, and you're not throwing him an easy slant route or a screen pass or getting him involved so that you don't have games without a touchdown being 4.7 fantasy points per game. That's what we saw on a weekly basis. And that was depressing. So from a fantasy forecast perspective, it's really, really hard to have the same kind of dynasty excitement for Harrison Jr. as you would Nabers and Brian Thomas.
Yeah, that makes it so much worse.
Even Xavier Worthy.
Or Ladd McConkey. Next year, it'll be really interesting to see where Marvin Harrison Jr. goes. I believe
I'm looking at a best ball right now, wide receiver 18 at the end of the third.
There is upside.
As a reminder, Marvin Harrison Sr., 64 catches in his rookie season. Marvin Harrison Jr., 63 catches. Marvin Harrison Sr., 836 yards. Marvin Harrison Jr., 885 yards. And Marvin Harrison Sr., 8 touchdowns. Jr., 8 touchdowns. So they had almost identical stats.
Obviously, check this one out, though. Marvin Harrison Jr., 62 for 8, 85 and 8. Malik Nabers, 109 for 1204 and 7 on 170
targets. 170
targets
as a rook. Wow.
But Malik Nabers will need to navigate new quarterback. He was quick to give Matthew Stafford his flowers over the Super Bowl weekend and talk about the kind of quarterback he wants to bring into New York. And, you know, New York is talking to Shedeur Sanders. And
how great is Brian Thomas Jr.? I only say that because you talk about the quarterback play of Malik Nabers. It was bad. But Brian Thomas Jr. played his best ball with Mac Jones. It's not like it's that much different
Malik
than Daniel
Nabers
Jones.
Would have loved Mac Jones.
He had Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is better than Mac Jones.
Malik Nabers with Daniel Jones, I mean,
was slightly better.
What, number 3, number 5, and number 6 on the week to start the year.
I guess
that's I mean, 18, 12, and 15 targets, and then the wheels fell off and Daniel Jones was gone. So when you look at that little stretch, I mean, he had a 3-game stretch, he would have been on pace for 255 targets.
Yeah, well, the 170 targets, you compare that to Brian Thomas, only had 133 targets, but Brian Thomas finished ahead of him as the wide receiver 4. So, I mean, both these players are great. I think people might just be not high enough on Brian Thomas Jr. because he was drafted behind him. Malik Nabers, you know, these guys played together in college, and it was Malik Nabers was the star, and Brian Thomas Jr. was the question mark number 2. He was the T. Higgins to the Jamar Chase.
Nabers is a better player.
I agree. Nabers is.
So I would rather have him.
I think they're so close, though.
Roman Dunze didn't have as many opportunities as both of those players, but he did have over 100 targets. 734 and 3. Okay. You know, this is going to come down to, is Caleb Williams going to be the guy? Is Ben Johnson going to fix that? And will there be enough volume for Roma Dunze with DJ Moore as the one there? I mean, Brian Thomas, he's the one. Nabers, the one. Harrison, the one.
DJ Moore, the one.
Yeah, so that is – look, I think Caleb Williams loves Roma Dunze. I think that is a go-to type of receiver for him. But you're going to need to do more.
I mean, when you say he didn't have quite as much opportunity, I take a little bit of issue with that, only because you had Brian Thomas Jr. play 79% of the snaps on the season. You had Rome Odunze play 84% of the snaps on the season. He was playing ball. Now, he didn't get as many opportunities to catch it, but we talk about all the time. Targets are an earned stat. He earned 100 targets, and some of that's going to be on Caleb Williams, on on Shane Waldron, on the, you know, the whole, you know, the other wide receiver options. But he was out there as much as all these rookies. So I feel like his disappointing season might be the realest. You know what I'm saying?
I think I'll be in on Rome Odunze as a later round pick.
Where is he going in best ball drafts right now?
I will find it.
I'm going to guess before.
Yeah, let's try to guess.
I got it.
Okay. I'm going to say wide receiver 31.
I started thinking 38, but I think it's going to be higher. I think 28.
Okay, you're both
way too low.
Wide receiver 26 at the end of the fourth right now.
Okay. But yeah, young.
This is best ball where wide receivers go very early.
Where's DJ Moore? If you're talking about a fourth rounder for
wide receiver 17 at the back of the third.
Okay. I'd rather have DJ Moore in the third than Odunze in the fourth.
Oh, yes. I agree with that.
If they're that close, yeah, but I don't think they'll be that close in redraft at all.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I agree with that. Home leagues, Rome will go later, but
Rome is a physical force, and I think it's going to come down to Caleb, but I actually like him. Xavier Worthy had the great finish to the season, 59 for 638 and 6 in the regular season. You know, they used him in an evolving role.
Yeah, he started cooking at the end.
He was the 28th pick in the draft, so it's a first-round wide receiver. Ricky Pearsall, we saw a little bit. Xavier Leggett, we kept trying to start as a flex player when opportunities were there. He ended up with under 500 yards receiving as a rookie. Keon Coleman, you know, for the 33rd pick in the draft, it was just 29 receptions.
Woof.
But for 556 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah.
Lad McConkey was 82 for 1149.
My little lad.
Coleman and Leggett are... Those numbers are very concerning.
We've had on the Dynasty podcast, we've had the Jalen McMillan versus Keon Coleman debate. Obviously, the draft capital of Keon Coleman is great, but the breakout at the end of the year of Jalen McMillan makes you go, okay, could he actually be the better rookie wide receiver this year? Because he really had a dud from Coleman.
I think I would still be the Coleman side. Coleman missed some time injured. They brought in Amari Cooper, who was irrelevant. You kind of have some journeymen there right now, right? Mac Hollins catching passes, Curtis Samuel. It seems like Keon Coleman's sophomore season will have at least a puncher's chance of being a breakout season.
He's got a puncher's chance.
But they, I mean,
like a 10, I would say like 1,010 seems doable.
Yeah, as his ceiling.
2010 would be a great year for him, I think.
I'll be curious where we end up ranking him for redraft for the
and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, what do they do at the wide receiver position? I think they will, even though they just spent a second on Coleman. I think they got to do something else too.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it with the Chiefs. They would spend every year. It's like they're trying to take their shot, whether it was trading for or bringing in Kadarius Toney or getting Sky Moore. It's like they just kept. Then Rushy Rice, then Xavier Worthy. But Xavier Worthy is the name we really need to bring up because that one is interesting. He is going to go very high, I think, in next year's draft based on what he did in the playoffs, based on being a Chief. I mean, this is a young kid who has always produced at every level, drafted in the first round, ended the season, you know, really important to the offense. And so some people will be very excited for a leap forward. They're hoping he's the next Tyreek Hill, right? He has that speed. He has that connection, a great offensive mind and quarterback. Can he develop into that? Can he become, you know, of all these guys, like Keon Coleman's not going to become a fantasy superstar. I don't see that happening. Jalen McMillan's not going to become a fantasy superstar. There is a path at least for Xavier Worthy to level up to become one of those, you know, wide receiver ones that you're drafting in the first or second round in the future because he's dominating on the field.
How do I simultaneously disagree and agree?
I mean, that's what Xavier Worthy is because I disagree with what I said But I see the path.
I don't see the path to that kind of a ceiling, but I see the path to him being the number one receiver for the Chiefs, even with the return of Rashee Rice. I see a world where Xavier Worthy is scoring the most fantasy points of any pass catcher on the team because of the fact that they can use him in so many different ways.
And unfortunately, I see a path where Rice comes back and Worthy is
unworthy,
inconsequential.
I don't see that anymore with Worthy.
No, I still do. Like the numbers, I know they took the shots, so maybe if a few of those, the big-time downfield throws actually hit this past season, you'd feel different. Because like what happened in the Super Bowl, like was that his first big catch?
No,
but I mean he was
his longest catch of the season,
54 yards.
54 yards, and other than that though, it's like 20,
35.
But I'm saying like consistently in his game logs, it's 19 yards, 19,
the
14,
big plays,
12, 19, 21. When he was really involved there at the end, and he was making money for fantasy, long of 12, long of 19. These are not huge.
But those
plays
are the areas where Rashee Rice is going to be very good, on the interior part of the offense. I think Xavier Worthy, what you saw in the last six games of the season, you know, he was on 142 target pace. It was a lot of short area stuff, but the targets just kept going up and up. I think you can use him in different ways when Rashee's out on the field. And, you know, Kelsey's he's going to disappear from this offense.
Yeah.
Worthy was too good as a rookie.
Man, Worthy is –
so maybe
it's so strange I don't disagree that he could become great, but to have such a wide range of outcomes where you could be a top 15 fantasy wide receiver or you could be nothing, which is how I view him, is that's very difficult to handle.
Yeah, you know who's not going to be nothing? Ladd McConkey.
Oh, Ladd's so good.
I mean, he finished as the wide receiver 12. So such a good route runner, reliable hands, great quarterback. I still kind of am pessimistic that he will not be the one for this team. Like, they still are looking for their wide receiver one, their alpha, you know, to steal a Josh Jacobs line here. Like, he's a good receiver, but I think they want a proven alpha wide receiver one. But I just wanted to give another shout out to Ladd because he was so talented.
Ladd deserves it. He had a great season. You know, you could see an offense, if it's predicated on a great running game and some other peripheral wide receiver options, where he could still be the fantasy leader for the team. I think that's possible there.
I mean, Keenan Allen with Herbert for the last couple of years was just – it's just the guy who's always in the right spot. Mm-hmm. He is like, you're going to create separation and catch it when I laser beam you the ball. That's what Keenan Allen did over and over and over. And that's what Ladd did. So maybe it will stick.
Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what was Amon-Ra's yards per catch?
Let me go find him.
Because, I mean, you talk about what Keenan Allen did. Allen's last three seasons with the Chargers with Justin Herbert, 10.7, 11.4, 11.5. Ladd's at 14.
And Amon-Ra was at 11.
A lot of that was yards after the catch stuff. He
also, interior parts of the field, was not afraid to go over the middle.
No, which he maybe should be a little bit more afraid.
He was limping a lot.
He was beat up a lot. That's the only knock I have against McConkey, is he's 185 pounds.
Yeah, Amon-Ra's 200 pounds.
Fearless. And right. I think he should have a little more fear.
Yeah, let's take another
creatine.
Take a quick break, and we'll be back. What's up, Foot Clan? This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Vuori is performance apparel that's designed for working out, but it doesn't look or feel like it. And let me tell you, the Ponto Performance Jogger, it's a game changer. It's part of Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's soft, it's super soft and lightweight. And what I like about it is I can wear it, it looks casual, and then I can play some pickleball in those things. It's a performance jogger, it looks great. It's perfect for them, the low-impact workouts, or maybe I'll play some one-on-one, maybe that high-impact workout too, or maybe you're doing some yoga or some stretching, or even sitting at the desk in the studio. Whatever you do, it'll keep you comfortable for hours without sacrificing style, and they're my go-to for relaxing days at home. Go to Vuori.com/ballers to get 20% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.
You want control of your financial future, and Schwab knows that. That's why when it comes to managing your wealth, we give you more choices, like full-service wealth management and advice when you need it most. You can also invest on your own and trade on thinkorswim, our powerful award-winning trading platforms. Plus, you'll get low costs, transparent pricing, and 24/7 live help. Because at Schwab, we understand it's your financial journey, and we believe you should have choices in how you invest. Visit schwab.com to learn more.
Okay, so tight end wise, Brock Bowers, pretty decent.
Yeah.
You like what he did as a rookie?
Halfway through the season and maybe after 1 week of the season, you were like, he's the best pass-catching tight end in the National Football League. He was everything that you expected him to do, everything he was for multiple years in college. You can't give enough flowers to how talented he is. He will be the number one tight end drafted this year. He'll be the number one tight end in Dynasty. I believe he is worth as high as the fourth overall pick in startup drafts for Dynasty, a difference maker for a long time period. And so, goodness gracious. I mean, he is that guy.
I think I just finished talking about the rookie tight ends.
Yeah, that way we're done.
From what we saw on the field,
opportunity-wise,
because tight ends generally take a while to get cooking, you do have a second-round tight end in Ben.
I am the Senate.
The senator, baby.
Who, second-round tight end, you saw the tight end position succeed for Washington. Zach Ertz is a free agent and ancient. He's a free ancient.
That's nice.
And we need him to just... Zach Ertz, your career has been incredible. Like, he's not a Hall of Fame guy, but a truly incredible career.
Yeah, don't sully our memories.
And look, live for your family, man. Just be around and let the senator go to work.
And Mike would like nothing more in this life than Ben Sinnott to take over next year in Washington. You already know the quarterback's in good shape. We had a little bit of opportunity for Jatavion Sanders and Theo Johnson this year.
They showed flashes. There was a little stretch for the Carolina Panthers tight end Jatavion Sanders.
He looked good.
Well, Theo was looking good, but he went on IR, got injured. I mean, it was just like the Truth of Tight End episode. Okay, the Truth of Tight End episode was there are very, very few elite guys. Get one. Or just wait because the rest all suck?
I guess before Theo went down for injury, things were trending up for him.
I want to – I am struggling to find the drop. Here we go.
I want to play a game.
I know we're running low on time, but I want to circle back to wide receivers.
Okay.
Because
tight ends suck.
There are so many names at wide receiver.
I have like 5 more minutes on Ben Sinnott.
I'm sorry. We are back at wide receivers.
No.
I'm going to read you a name, and you're going to tell me if they ever have a fantasy relevant season. This is the game.
Okay. All right. This is fun.
So
fantasy relevant being like wide receiver 36 or better, right?
Top 40.
Okay. All right.
Do they ever have a top
40 is relevant?
Yeah. Do they ever have a top 40 season for their entire careers?
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah, yes. Just say the name.
No. I'm going to ease you in a little bit.
All right.
Xavier Leggett.
No.
I guess I didn't ease you in at all.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
So you said no. Okay, you said
no.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Jalen Polk.
Second round
wide receiver.
No.
Second round wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell.
No.
Mm-mm.
Third round wide receiver, Malachi Corley.
No.
No.
Third round wide receiver, Jermaine Burton.
You had the world in your hands, dude.
Oh, man.
It was there.
And then he just...
And he punted it off the bridge.
He just peed.
Is that a no?
That's a no.
Get all the way.
Third round wide receiver, Roman Wilson of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I want to say yes. I want to say yes.
Hey, back your guys. It's fine.
I think he will. I think he'll be a relevant Christian Kirk type player someday.
I'll say no.
Luke McCaffrey for Washington.
No.
I will say probably not. No.
Fourth round wide receivers. I'll give you the names real quick. Troy Franklin.
Yeah, baby. Of course. You're darn right he will.
Because now, is that a real answer?
Do you want to know why? Because it's Franklin.
Hey, you have the button?
Yeah, you're darn right. Do I really believe he'll be a top 40 wide receiver? No, I do not.
Mike?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I'm back in.
Javon Baker. Yeah, no. Mike is the Franklin truther. Javon Baker?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Malik Washington in the sixth round for Miami?
Yes.
I'm going to say no. There's at least one more name that
I like. Malik
could be a top 40 this coming season, I think.
What's that name?
Jordan Whittington for the Los Angeles Rams with the Tutu Atwell.
My dino team likes hearing that.
Cooper Kupp.
You see why
gone.
I wanted to circle back. There's a lot. I mean, the wide receiver list, it's long.
Yeah, and to give
and a lot of those guys I read, I mean, that was all second, third, and fourth round picks.
Yeah, to give the Foot Clinic kind of an early heads up, we'll have all sorts of rookie preview, not review shows, talking about the incoming draft class. But this really does seem like the pendulum swinging completely the other way. So far, it's very, very early. We don't know draft capital, and I haven't even finished scouting all the wide receivers. But the running back draft class seems very strong. I think there might be six guys in this class that I like better than my favorite of last year. The top is very good in this year's draft class. And so far on wide receivers, I am very meh. I mean, you got one stud that seems like a layup, and then
T-Mac. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, T-Mac looks great, and then the rest have their questions.
Yeah, Kyle just said there's only right now for mock drafts. Right now, it's four wide receivers in the first round, which is that's low.
So that's with probably Burden, the third in the first round.
Oh yeah, Luther will be a first.
And then
what a villain name.
Amika,
Luther
Burden.
Burden. He's a like you got you, Lex you, Luthor. You got the he's a burden, and then it's like he's generationally
LB3.
Yeah.
Ooh. So I'm trying to lose about 3 lbs every day.
Every day for a month.
Yeah. LB3 is the hardest one to lose. You know, I can get down 2, but when I try to get LB3, it's right back.
Yeah, I like Matthew Golden out of Texas too, Kyle. I see that's the last name in there. So Egbuka, Burden.
Yeah,
Golden,
the wide receiver class could prove us wrong, but right now it is.
All right, that is going to do it for today's show. We are mock drafting the top 12 picks of 2025. That's right, on Thursday, mock drafting those first 12 names. That should be a lot of fun. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.